Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Lamentations, and we'll be reading in chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 21 through verse 23. Lamentations chapter 3. Some of you are looking in the index of where Lamentations is. I know that. And follows Jeremiah. And if you would please stand with me as we read God's word. And wherever you're looking, just stop and you'll look like we found it, okay? And so we're good. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies. They're new every morning. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, I pray that tonight as we gathered here, that you would encourage us from your word about who you are. Lord, I pray that you would guide us tonight and draw us closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. How many of you happen to see that Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus, is closing after 146 years? How many of you see that? You know, when I was a kid, I remember that Ringling Brothers had a three-ring circus. And we went one year, as my family did when I was a kid. And I remember going, and they'd have this act going over here, and this act going over here, and this act going over here, and had the elephants and the lions and all those kind of things, and the trapeze and all those things. But they said the reason why they're closing is number one, is declining attendances. And said, second of all, they're closing because the culture has changed. And I guess, you know, they give other reasons, but those are the ones that sort of stood out to me. Of course, obviously the PETA group and how animals were treated and so on and so forth. But when we look at it, you know, 146 years is now going to be history. And I'm thinking about, you know, the changing society in which we live. And just kind of just looking at where we are, what's happening, technology, how people think, where we are, what's going on. And while things may be changing, there are some things that never change, and that is God never changes. Malachi says, "I am the Lord, I change not." And you know, we can't stop the change. We can't even stop the change of ourselves. I notice that every time I go to shave, I see another spot somewhere that, what is that, an age spot or what is that, you know? I see within my own life, I'm changing, things are changing, we're all changing. But it's so comforting to go to a God that never changes. You know, I'm glad he's not one way today and a different way tomorrow. Because we're like that, you know. Depends on how our day is. But God has within him that person of who he is, that he's faithful. You know, the passage says here, as he describes God, he says, "God, great is your faithfulness." You're great. What part of God is great? Well, everything about God is great, but this describes that God, his faithfulness is great. Great is thy faithfulness. And tonight, when you go home and you get into the changing world in which we live, and we see ourselves as changing, and maybe we don't like what we see, take comfort in the fact God has not changed. The same God that you go to, that you can pray to every day, that you can read about and listen to his heart through God's word, that God has not changed. He's steady. But how do we know that? How do we know that? Well, God reveals or demonstrates his faithfulness to us. And I think I should have a slide back there. Can you find those slides? I sent them over to you. Let's just kind of look at them and talk about what it means when we think of God as faithful. So how do we know that? Well, first of all, he's faithful in his communication. And what I mean by that is God communicates his faithfulness. We see that there are clear statements in his word about how faithful God is. In fact, the scripture says it like this in Psalm 36:5. It says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." God, faithfulness is that deep. The psalmist in Psalm 119 verse 90 says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9 says, "God is faithful." 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Over and over we read about that we're reminded that while the world is changing, God is steady faithful. Now in Lamentations, we have to understand why this is so significant, why it's so powerful. It's because the nation of Israel had turned their back on God. Actually, Judah had turned their back on God. And Jeremiah had gone as a prophet to preach to the nation, to return to God, and God had brought judgment on Judah. They had rejected God. God had sent a judgment on them, and now everything is decimated. They are in miserable conditions. And what he is preaching to them is, he says, you know, as he's weeping, he's called the weeping prophet, as he's weeping over the conditions and looking at the situation, he's simply saying this. He's saying that while maybe the world that you know of has changed, and those things around you have changed, and the struggles have changed, and the judgment of God has come on this nation of ours, God has not changed. And I'm going to tell you this tonight, that's the same message that God gives to us. He has not changed. He's still the same. He's still the same God of Jeremiah and of Daniel and of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and David and others, and Solomon, Elijah and Elisha. We all go all the way through. Because God is faithful. Isn't it good to know that God is faithful tonight? And he communicates his faithfulness as it's revealed in his word, but it's also revealed through his work. We find that his work, no doubt about it, that in his work reveals his faithfulness. Now, let's think of it this way. All of us, how do we know that we are saved? Because the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, aren't you glad tonight God doesn't say, "Whosoever shall call upon the Lord today shall be saved." And then next week he says, "Whosoever shall call upon Muhammad shall be saved." God doesn't change. He's still the same. In other words, salvation, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, that seems very narrow, doesn't it? Because it is. God says, "Broad is the way, but narrow is the gate." In other words, salvation is simply centered in Jesus Christ. And that's important. When we think of salvation, we realize that this work of salvation is not what we do, it's what God has done for us. And then I think of the salvation, not only in the fact of what God has done, but how God protects us. As believers, we are protected by God. Have you ever thought of it this way? What if God were to take his hand off of us? What if God were to say, I'm gonna take my hand off of you? I mean, all we have to do is look at Job. What happened when God removed the protection of Job to allow Satan to have his time with him? Was Satan slow in bringing punishment to Job? No, he was very quick. There was no mercy with Satan. But you know, God has not worked in our life in that way. The Bible says that we are protected by God. In fact, here's what the scripture says. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept by the power of God. I'm glad tonight that I'm kept by His power, not by mine. I mean, tomorrow morning if I wake up, I may say, I'm strong, but maybe on Tuesday I'm not strong. But the Bible says that God keeps me. So when I look at this work of God, it's seen in His work of salvation in your life and in my life. It helps us to understand that's also true, that God is faithful in this work of salvation through the ministry of the church. Here's what God says. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This means that there's no religious system, that there's nothing that can stop the work of God, because the Holy Spirit of God works through the church to reach this world with the gospel. That's how God uses and works. So it's the ministry of the church. That's the work of salvation. By the way, a church should preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the faithfulness of God, I want to comfort you with the thought that, number one, it's through His communication. But second of all, it's in His purpose. Can I get you to turn to Titus chapter 2? Would you go with me, please, to Titus 2? Look at these verses quite often, but they have so much for us to understand about God. Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. And what I'm trying to encourage us is to realize that God is faithful. And the more that we understand the faithfulness of God, and by the way, though we are not faithful to Him always, He is always faithful to us. And when we're out here and maybe we're struggling, or maybe we're hurting, or maybe we're going through some difficulties and struggles, and we wonder, how can we deal with this? Just remember that God is faithful. And He will be with us. We'll look at that in a moment. But notice what it says in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's the purpose of God. The purpose of God is, we see that, number one, in the salvation of man. Did you see that? It's the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Now, we all know that grace, and I think most of you here know, that grace is not something that you worked up, or something that you can do, or something you did to court the favor of God. Grace is something that we don't deserve. It's something that we can't get on our own. It's what God gives to us. God, the Bible says, deals with us after grace. He gives us grace. Aren't you glad He gives you grace tonight? Aren't you glad God doesn't work after, like, you know, sometimes people say, man, I wish God was just just. I'm glad He's not just. I'm glad He's just in the sense that He's just in His purposes and His plans, but not in how He deals with us, because if we all got the justice of God, we'd all be judged. But God deals with us after grace. It's the grace of God. But this grace does something inside of us. It's this work of God's grace is the moment that I trust Jesus as my Savior, God changes me from the inside out. He does something in my life. Because when I think of grace, grace is not something for me that I can use as an excuse to sin. Sometimes people get the idea, you know, you mean all I have to do is call upon Jesus and I do everything I want, anything I want to? No, that's not what grace is. They don't understand grace. Grace doesn't work like that. Grace is not an excuse to sin. It's an excuse not to sin. In other words, once God's grace has worked in my life, I don't want to dishonor God. Once God has changed my heart, once God has worked in my life in such a way that he has given me this home in heaven, the Bible said that it's at that point I realize that my life has changed. That's the work of salvation. But we see that demonstrated as man begins to grow. Notice he says, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, verse 12. Righteously and godly in this present world. It's here in these verses that grace causes us to live the Christian life. Causes us to live a godly life. It causes us to want to love our wife as we should. It causes us to want to love our children as we should. It causes us to want to love God as we should. And to live for God. And to want to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. That's what grace does. Grace moves me toward God, not away from God into sin. It's that growth that comes. It's as the Holy Spirit of God is working in my life. And God says to you and to me that we can live faithful to God by his grace. We don't have to sin. I remember, how many of you guys remember Flip Wilson? You guys remember Flip Wilson? Flip Wilson's the old comedian in the, I think it was 70s. Was that 70s? I know some of you weren't around the 70s. I understand that. But he used to say, the devil made me do it. But I'm going to tell you, we can't use sin as an excuse. We can't use and say, well, the devil made me do that, or I did this, or it. No, you know what God said? It's God's grace that moves me away from that toward him who is faithful. Grace brings me to a place of godliness. And that's what the reminder of this passage is. That it's God that works, God that does his work, and God is faithfully working in the life of all of us daily. But then there's a third way in which God reveals his grace, and that is we see it in his compassion. Going back to Lamentations, did you notice it says that his mercies are new every morning? How many of you, by the way, got a chance to get that book by Paul Tripp? It's called New Mercies. How many of you got that? It's a great book. I would highly, highly recommend it. It's a good devotional book. Just read along with, you know, it's not just the only thing you read maybe in the mornings, but you can read it as a devotional thoughts with along with your other Bible reading. But it's about compassion. Compassion means that God looks down, he sees our need, and he is moved to do something to meet that need. God looked down and he saw that man was in need of a Savior, and he did something. He gave us salvation. But God provides. God provides. That's what it means. This compassion means that God provides for all of our needs. God provides our shelter. God provides the sun. God provides the rain. And boy, we've had a lot of rain, haven't we? You know, last week, I would just kind of walked out, and I know it sounds kind of weird, but I did. I walked out, and I just looked at all this rain, and I kind of looked out in the backyard, and I saw the water all over the place. And I just said, God, thank you for the rain, because we certainly have needed it for a long time. And that was when they were talking about floods and all the other things. But, I mean, that's the provision of God. That's how God provides. I was thinking about all the things. And then it was so nice the last few days. We had the break in the rain. We had the sun. And we can say, God, thank you for the sun. That's God's provision. This morning I was able to get up and come to church. I was thanking God for the privilege to be able to come to church. I don't have to go. I get to come to church. I was thinking about the provision that God enables me to get up and have the physical ability to come to church. And For some of you, that can be very challenging, but you're here. That's God's provision. I was thinking about how that God provides for our food and all of these things that God gives to us. It's because God is a compassionate Savior. But then also, He's a companion. You know, sometimes we get lonely, we want someone, and I understand there's that human interaction that we need, and when my wife's not there, I miss not having that human interaction and all that. I understand all that, but I'm going to tell you, God is there. There's no doubt about it. In Psalm 4, verse 3, the Bible says, "But know that the Lord has set set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." His purpose for you and me is to bring glory to God. His purpose for you and me is that we can have God with us in our and have his presence with us, because God is with us always. Whatever we're going through, we have that. So tonight, the world may be changing. Things may be looking a whole lot different than they used to, but God never changes. He's faithful. And I thank God for his faithfulness. And I want to encourage you with just that thought. Just let that rivet in your heart and say, God, thank you that you are faithful. Let's pray.